so we are going to discuss a topic today that's really been a common theme in my office and just kind of around friends, and I feel like it really needed to be something said about it. And so as we walk into this episode, we just want to thank you so much for tuning in and helping Fostering Faith grow. And we know that there are several tens of thousands, you know, soon to be hundreds of thousands listening on YouTube and Spotify and Apple. And we really just like for you guys to rate, review, leave some comments, help us grow. If you find that this podcast is helping you in any way, make sure that you share it with somebody, and that way we can get this word out and just be disciples, because it's about being fishers of men and not watchers of the aquarium. And so as we dive deep into this topic, I want it to be something that makes you maybe uncomfortable and allows you to really think about what's going on in your life. I'm in Ezekiel, and so I'm just really kind of full of like boldness and just really just not trying to just make people feel comfortable with how we live. So as we dive into this podcast, I'm going to call it Roots. Getting to know the root of what you're doing, why you're doing it. And have you ever felt anxious? Have you ever felt nervous, depressed? Have you ever felt distant from God? And I know that we've done episodes on that before, but maybe you've been praying and you don't feel like He's answering. What if I told you that the disease, whether emotional, physical, spiritual, are often a sign that God actually is paying attention to you? In this episode of Fostering Faith, we're going to dive deep into uncovering the root causes of anxiety and emotional unrest in spiritual cases. And so with this real talk and plenty of scripture, we'll tackle why anxiety and depression often stem from feeling disconnected from God, how to stop treating symptoms to get to the root of what's really going on, how God uses us to help others, and how God uses that unease to draw you closer and not push you away. And we'll give you some practical tips of how to reset your heart, your mind, and include scripture, prayer, and faith-based habits to include in your everyday life. So if you've ever been wondering, where is God in all of this? This episode's for you. And so we have had so much fun doing this podcast. And every one of those days where you kind of feel off, but yet you don't know why. And the difference between disease and dis-ease, when your body, mind, and soul are telling you something is wrong, but you can't find anything. And so we have scripture. And so we have Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it says, "Come to me, all that you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so as we are trying to carry all the things, as moms, we're trying to carry the husband and the work and our kids, social media, and carrying everything. And God is saying, why? Why are you out here carrying all of this? My yoke is light. I am stronger than you. Why are you stressing out over all this stuff? Give it to me. Give me your worry. And for kids, they are so stressed out about trying to be perfect and Instagram ready and allowing their faults and their failures just to be like it was in the 90s. And we don't have to be perfect and we don't have to have like all the things. But the kids and the youth nowadays, they struggle with so much more than I could have ever imagined. And you know, I can't speak for husbands because one, I'm not one, but I can just speak for my husband that he carries the burden of this household, taking care of aging parents, you know, his job, like all the things. And so his major thing is trying to, you know, balance life and not bring it home. And It really is. And so why are we carrying all this stuff as society? Why are we just trying to, you know, have a juggling act of trying to keep everything? And God is saying, come to me. I know you're tired. I hear you. I'm watching you. I'm listening to you. Give me that. Give me the taxing, you know, give me the basketball practice. Let me do the groceries. And you're like, yeah, that's fine. That's great, Tracy, because he's not going to go get groceries for me. No, but maybe if you gave it to him, maybe groceries would show up at your door. Maybe he would give you a friend that would be like, hey, I'm going to run to Walmart. Do you need anything? Or maybe he'll give you a carpool and say, you know what? These are the parents that are involved in your kid's sports, and they reach out to you. You never know until we try. And so what happens if you are just so full of anxiety, and the root of anxiety isn't always just physical? It can be spiritual. And so you can do labs and you can do scans and you can do all the things, but there's no spiritual lab that I can draw in the office. There's no alpha. There's no omega. For spirituality check, there is not that. And if there is, I mean, leave that in the comments, because I don't know about it. Whenever you feel far from God, it doesn't mean that he's far from you, because he's always at our right hand. And we're probably too busy looking to the left to notice that he's even there. And so whenever we dive deep into the feelings of anxiety and depression, and a lot of times it roots to a feeling of unease or disease. And once we, you know, really kind of dive into it, for those that believe, we usually end up finding sin. We usually feel that the Holy Spirit is the one that's making us feel uneasy. And so we have Psalm 34:18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God alone is the one that we can turn to no matter what. God allows discomfort because he wants us to seek him and not just quick fixes. And so quick fixes are just anything that you're turning to bring you comfort, anything that you're putting before him, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex, video games, pornography, whatever it may be. If you're trying to fill that God-sized void with anything that's not him, it's not going to be the fix. It's not going to help you. And really walking through that has really just been so eye-opening for people and patients, and allowing them to be like, oh. And so we walk through the conversation. Okay, so we go through all the things. We go through all the blood. We go through, you know, anything, you know, in their diet and physical and like all the things. And then we really get down to, okay, so you're a believer of Christ. You're a believer of Jesus. You follow him. Like, you are a Christian. Like, you believe in God, and he sent his son and all the things. And they're, you know, yes, okay. So then what are you doing that is outside your scope that you know that you're not supposed to be doing? And they're like, I drink. I am, you know, I'm having sex outside of marriage. And so we walk through that, and it's like, okay, so why are we doing that? Because I feel alone. Because I feel like no one is listening, no one's paying attention, and they're doing it to numb the pain, to look at it in hopes that, oh, I just broke up with a boyfriend, and so that's going to bring him back. No, you're lying to yourself. And so really looking at what you're doing, and how is that going to fix the problem in that situation? And so whenever you give your burdens to Christ, he could have a friend on that end to help you and to guide you through these tough times. And he allows these things to happen to us. And I was reading in my book, Bible, the other morning, a Charles Stanley life principle. And it was, he allows everything that happens to us goes through his fingers. And we have to believe that. And so either it's going to make us draw closer or you choose to walk away. And so in those hard times, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so here for you. Like, I love you. Like, here I am. And we tend to treat anxiety and sadness like it's a superficial problem, but it's so much deeper. And so, roots in spiritual disease is lack of time in his presence, unresolved sin and guilt, lies the enemy has told you about your worth, and then lack of trust and rest in his promises. And so we have John 15:5, and it says, I am the vine, you are the branch. You remain in me, and I remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, let me tell you. And so, whenever we are going through these difficult times, and I have just seen it so many times, time and time and time and time again, is that your life was going really good, and you thought that you could do it on your own, and then you do what you feel you're supposed to do, and then life falls apart. And the lack of time that you've spent with him, you've lost his guidance. You've lost his knowledge and his wisdom because we're not connected to him. And whenever we look into that anxiety and depression and sadness and addiction, even, it really looks into the unresolved sin and guilt. And so we're doing something that we know is not right. We know it's not right. And, we continue to do it because we feel like it's going to change something, and that really is just not going to happen. And you continue to get in that to that cyclic pattern of unease and restlessness, and we can't put your finger on it, but you just don't know what it is. And then we start believing like the lies that the enemy had told you. You're not worth it. You can't get over him. She's never gonna come back. You're never gonna lose that weight. You are such a loser. No one has ever loved you. No one's ever gonna love you. Like, you are such a screw up. And you start believing in that because you have that on repeat. And unfortunately, as society, we have always said that it's easier to believe the bad things than the good things. And so with Gia, I really try to iterate whenever she has a moment and she has lost her mind and she tries to say something negative about herself, I tell her, okay, so fine. So look up to heaven and tell God that he made a mistake. And she says, no, I can't. And I said, why? And she said, because he's never made a mistake. I'm like, okay. So you just said that you were this. And I said, I need you to point out that in scripture for me. I can't. Why? Because it's not there. Okay. So we know it's not truth, because if it was true, then it would be in scripture. And then we have those moments where we're like, no, it's, and I know, I'm just a bad person. I'm this, I'm that. And it's, if you can't find scripture to back it up, then it's not true. If God didn't say it about you, then you can't say it about yourself. And so looking at these different aspects, whenever you look at depression and anxiety, it really is maybe an eye-opener to what the root of the issue is. And so, how do I get back to the root of Jesus? And so, instead of numbing your feelings and trying to do it on your own, bring them to Jesus, bring them to God. He's just waiting for you. And so, Ephesians or Philippians 4. 6-7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so, whenever we're feeling alone, whenever we're feeling not worthy, whenever we're feeling like everyone's left me, everyone hates me, I can't do this, you always, always, always have someone to turn to. Your Heavenly Father is right there. He's waiting for you just to say, I'm sorry. I need your help. I don't know what I'm doing. I try to do it on my own. And we repent. We repent from turning from Him. We repent because we missed the mark. We repent because we know that we did something that was not in our best interest. And so we go to him and we repent, we turn from the thing that was keeping us from his side, and we turn and walk the other direction, and we're and he knows that we're not going to be perfect, and he's just been waiting on you. And it really is just this amazing thing that Jesus paid for our sins, died on the cross because he knew that we were not going to be perfect, that we knew that we were going to miss the mark. And yet he chose to take that burden upon himself and to save us. And so we get the opportunity to enter the most holy of holies, to talk and commune with the Almighty God. I mean, that just blows my mind. I just love it. And I get to explain this and talk with patients that are believers and unbelievers, and walk unbelievers into faith, and how we can have drug addicts, and we can have people that they know that they're made for more, and we walk through this in a way that they are just like, oh my gosh, this has been it the whole time. I thought something was wrong with me. And it was the Holy Spirit. And so you have a watchful person out looking out after you, and they want the best for you, and they try to get your attention, and he tries to get your attention. And sometimes he has to turn up the heat real high because we're ignoring him. And so spending time with him in prayer, in worship, in silence can be the best medication sometimes that you could ever do. And speaking the truth over yourself, replace those lies with scripture. And we were in small group the other night, and one of the ladies was talking about how you have to replace and repeat. And so we just wanted to make sure that we talked about how to replace those lies that you said, but you have to replace the lies with the truth. And so learning and talking about God's truth, but we memorize scripture. And so whenever we're in that moment and we don't have the YouVersion Bible app, and we don't even have the energy to turn on our phone, we don't have the energy to flip through the Bible or do anything, but we've had the time to write a verse on our heart. We have that. I know that God said something about like, I shouldn't be anxious, I shouldn't be nervous. And you just say that on repeat. And so we replace those lies that the enemy said that you are not worthy. Oh, I'm pretty sure God called me worthy. He said, I was beautifully and wonderfully made. He said, I knit you together in your mother's womb. I mean, so you have so many scriptures that tell you that you are worthy, that you are loved, that you are tattooed on his hand. And so you can tell yourself these things and surround yourself. And surround yourself with faith-filled community. We have said that and said that and said that on this podcast so many times, is that you have to surround yourself with people that are edifying, that build you up, that let you know that you are loved, but will call you out on your sin, that they know that you are not doing right. And so they have the authority to say, what are you doing? This is not right. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is not how we live our life. We've got to get you some help. We've got to get you, you know, on the right path. And so just because you're feeling distant doesn't mean that he isn't working. That means that maybe you need to turn to the right, because he's at your right hand. And so Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so it doesn't matter what you've done, what drugs you've done, what lie you've said. If you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repent and be baptized and really try to live a life that is pleasing to him. And he knows that we're not going to be perfect. He knows that we're going to miss the mark, but yet he loves us anyway. And thank God for his mercy and grace. Just enter his courts with thanksgiving. Like, I get to have another chance. I get to have another chance. And so you are never alone. You are loved. You are worthy. You are a child of the Most High. And so I just want you to take this opportunity to look at the one step that you could do to move closer to God. He's already reaching out for you. It is the prodigal son story, and it's the one that returns, and he's so excited to have you come back to him and realize that there is so much better for you on the other end of this. And so take a deeper look into what you are doing that you know would not be pleasing to your Heavenly Father. Take that to him and tell him that you're sorry, and turn and walk the other way, and walk with him and meet with him and talk with him every day. It's about a relationship with him, and watch him teach you. The Holy Spirit will just make that Bible come alive, and it will refresh your mind and your soul and your spirit, and you will just be refreshed and renewed. And I cannot just put it into even words of just how good he is and how faithful he is and how he meets me every morning and how he gives me opportunities. Cause I pray for the lost. I literally pray that he puts lost people in front of me, that I have boldness to speak the faith and the truth over them, to let them know that they are loved and that he is paying attention to them and he hears them. And so I hope you guys accept that challenge. And as we go into this next week, we hope that you were refreshed and renewed, and that we are looking at what is in our lives that we could really get rid of, that we don't necessarily need, that we think that we need, but we don't. And so that's your challenge this week. And so if we want to bow our heads, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the nudges. Thank you for the unease. Thank you for allowing us to know that you are paying attention to us. Thank you that you have allowed us to walk through this, and so we can turn our focus on you. I pray that the listeners just fall back in love with you, that they look at the word and yet you've cleared their mind, that you've cleared their heart, that the words just jump off the page, and that they are fully refreshed because of your goodness, because of your grace, because of your mercy. Thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we hope that you guys have an amazing week this week. Stay tuned for next week. We'll see you then.